Yeah, love that new one from Coco Roco and the track Carry Me Home. I'm joined today by Arvind Yuvaraj on The Pulse, and our first story of the evening is on the effects of the recently announced movement control order and how it's affecting the live music venues around the country.
Mm-hmm. First day today.
Over the last couple of weeks, we saw a whole bunch, and we've been talking about a whole bunch of cancellations of festivals and events due to COVID-19. Last week, South by Southwest and Coachella, who are two of the, I guess, the world's biggest casualties in terms of music festivals. The rapid pace of the coronavirus outbreaks causing chaos in almost every sector, right? Not just in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
I'm not just talking about music, talking about movies, art, sports as well.
Mm-hmm. WrestleMania, got cancelled.
Yeah, WrestleMania will be at like a smaller... And no fans,
no
right?
No fans. WrestleMania is going to be in an empty arena in their performance centre. So they can't have it in Tampa anymore, which is
That's
weird.
Crazy. That's
weird.
Crazy. With the recent announcement of the MCO, the Movement Control Order, many live venues, all of them, rely on a constant stream of shows for their livelihoods, are forced to shut down for 2 weeks. This also obviously affects independent and freelance musicians and bands who rely playing on shows for income and exposure. But today and tonight, I really want to focus on these live venues and how they are coping, I guess, with the forced closure of their premises. So behind every good gig is always a good personnel and a whole bunch of people working on the show. You have, of course, the venue owners, you have tour managers, directors, technicians, lighting technicians, soundboard operators, people who rely on the arts to survive.
Mm-hmm.
A recent article on the Rolling Stone gave an example of audio engineer Paul Klimson, a man who's worked with Justin Timberlake, The Roots, Eric Clapton. He was set to lose out $11,000 in gigs between now and at least April the 8th. That's just the money that he makes. Mm-hmm. And he's only one of the thousands, right? If not tens of thousands of people, I guess, in the industry. Independent musicians and contractors don't enjoy benefits like, I guess, me and you do. They don't have retirement plans, they don't have vacation time, health insurance. Many people who work these live events only work in live events, right? So I guess to find out a little bit more about what's happening behind the scenes, I have on the line John Teo. He's one of the founders of Chao Team. Have you been there?
No, not yet.
Great place. You should visit after this is all over, obviously.
Yeah.
It's a jazz bar in the heart of the city, Chinatown. John, welcome to the program. Just to kickstart things, what were your reactions, especially in regards to Chao Team, when you heard the movement control order announcement?
When we heard the movement control order, we were shocked for sure, but kind of relief because this happens throughout the whole, Malaysia. And I guess this is a good move, which protects everybody. We restrict people from moving around and keeping the virus at bay, maybe tapering it down. Yes, it's definitely affecting us, but it's for the greater good.
As much as Chao Team is a live venue space, it's also a F&B joint or like a cafe hangout during the day. So can you give us a rough ratio of how much income you would lose when it comes to F&B versus live gigs?
Oh, food and beverages, definitely 50%. As for the live shows, once it's cancelled, it's 100% loss or even postponed for the month. Yeah, that's the loss we're getting right now.
Yeah, and that's the hard part, right, about owning, a live venue. You got to sustain, I guess. You're not just running on live shows all the time. You also, during the day, operate as a cafe. So that's money lost.
So it's more like you moonlight as a music joint.
Or moonlight as a cafe.
Depending on how you see it. Yeah, yeah.
John, what are your contingency plans for Chao Team during this downtime?
The contingency plan for the F&B part will be definitely the takeaways, or grab food, different type of takeaways.
Mm.
And for our live venue, we're actually planning something probably might be doing, because right now we need less contact. So the only thing is to turn to social media or internet.
Mm.
So we might be planning to do a live performance streaming, actually, for our venue. Yeah. I guess that's the easiest platform because it's in a digital age right now and with this virus. So that's the best possible way to go for it. So we are working on it pretty hard, trying to do live performance streaming thing and probably open up the website for donations. Most of the donations will go to the performance, which they are living, they're 100%, they're all musicians, full-time musicians, and part of them will go to us as a live venue to cover the cost.
Although the current plan is from the government is until the end of the month, there's a level of uncertainty surrounding everything. Are you worried about the future?
I am worried, but we definitely put our hope in humanity, of course. Everybody will try to prevail. People will try to work harder. Shows will definitely go on. We'll try to do necessary precautions like do temperature checks before everybody comes in, sanitize the place every day or every other hour. I guess we try the best we can.
That was John Teo from Chow Tim, one of the founders, telling us and bringing us behind the scenes of what's happening for, live music venues in this current outbreak. I mean, streaming online is definitely a great thing. And that's something we'll talk about later on too, right? Streaming. But still, though, that doesn't take away, it doesn't fill the void of, watching a live show with, the community of people around you who enjoy the same thing
and
as
being
you.
There in person.
Exactly.
I don't know if live venues will go the way of going online. So a lot of people have opted to bring their services online because of the whole movement control order or, just because of COVID-19 and social distancing and stuff. There are fitness coaches. They've started to put their stuff online. So they train people online so you don't have to be in touch with them, physically be in touch with them. I know that there are some life coaches, some business coaches. They are doing the same thing. So they are putting their classes and stuff online. I don't know how that would work for live spaces. Maybe, streaming something from there or maybe recording something from there and putting it as online videos and stuff if YouTube is the platform. But as you said just now, there are some people who work exclusively in live music. They have to be there during these gigs. And if you don't have a concert with people and you don't need them around, then they're obviously going to take a hit.
I also think it's a type of music you put out also, right? We did a story a couple of weeks ago in China. It's going crazy. It's something called cloud raving. And clubs are actually earning more money than they do when they do operate as normal. So that's something else to think about, digitization of today's age. We're asking you on the program today, owners of independent creative spaces / musicians / people who rely on the arts for income, how are you planning to cope with the imminent closure due to COVID-19? Feel free to text us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up, we're going to be talking about how streaming is winning during this worldwide lockdown. But first up, Arvin, you have a solid tune for us.
Yeah, so this is Yasmin Lacey with Morning Matters. It's a single. It came out on February 27. So much jazzy, old school vibes to this song. It's something you listen on an old school 50s radio, but with newer mixing and new instruments and stuff. Really nice song.
Making your song sound old is the new.
Yeah, it's the new.
This is Yasmin Lacey, Morning Matters, right here on The Power. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.